Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
So what are you going to do on your 50th anniversary? He said, I'm going to go back and pick her up. Okay, does everybody have our Bible study? Exciting. Okay, does everybody have one? Looks like I'm one short. Okay, well, we've done this before where we have some volunteer. How did you get this tightened up? Like that? Okay. Okay, so what we do is everybody participates, but you don't have to participate. We're not forcing anybody to read or give an answer. If it's your turn to read, it comes around to you. You can just say pass if you don't want to read. That's all right. So we call on you to give the answers, and there's not a right or wrong answer. Sometimes it's just kind of to get the discussion going. So don't worry about somebody's going to say wrong. Yeah.
And the person that reads the question doesn't have to.
Yes. The person that's reading the question is not responsible to answer the question. You're just the reader. Okay. Does that take the pressure off? Yeah, that's good. And that's good. You don't have to read and you don't have to answer. Somebody will. Okay, so the title of this Bible study is called Complete in Him. All right. So, let's see. Brian,
sir.
Why don't you start by just reading that what it says about complete there?
Complete.
Speak up a little bit, too, because you don't have the mic.
Several Greek.
Inundated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too.
Boy, did that give you enough synonyms?
Yes.
Yeah, for what it means to be complete. Now, the reason I said that is there are several Greek words used, so they're different Greek words in these passages, but they all basically are saying the same things. They're all synonymous. So I just put them all in one sentence there. Okay. Bill, you want to read the first scripture there?
Okay, Colossians
9:10.
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
Okay, good. Before you read the next scripture, the reason I put in there in parentheses, endurance, is that's what patience means there. I looked up the word, and it literally means to endure, which is a little different than what we think of as being patient. Being patient to us means you're standing in a long line, and you've got to wait, but you're being patient. All right, so but this really means you're enduring. Okay, Becky? Okay, Rita.
Hebrews 11:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will.
Okay. All right. Now, before we get to the first question, so are you getting the idea? All right. So this is all about complete, which we are. It's talking about us. So we're going to talk about some aspects of that, and so we want you to participate. All right. Pass? Okay, let's go over here. Gloria, you want to read the first question? Are we complete or incomplete? All right, what do y'all say?
Incomplete.
What did you say? Striving to be complete? All right. Y'all like those? You sort of feel like, well, I know the Bible says I'm complete, but I'm not quite there yet. Do you? Yeah. Okay. So, anything? Any other thoughts on that?
I think at different times we're in different places.
Okay. Some things are complete and some things are incomplete. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I see. I see that. Well, here's the key. Here's the key to understanding completeness. It says we're complete in Him. So if we're in Christ, and He's the perfect embodiment of completeness, because He completely did the Father's will, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
So if we're in Him, we are a part of that complete, knowing the complete and perfect obedience to the will of God. That's you and that's me. So, I like to say this. Don't tell God you're incomplete if He says you're complete. Yeah. Incompleteness is a self-assessment. But what God was doing was assessing Christ, and we're in Him. So if you said, well, I'm complete in Christ, and somebody says, you mean you've got it all? Well, I don't possess it all physically, emotionally, spiritually, bodily, right here, right now. But I have it. It all belongs to me in Christ. I am perfect, entire, complete, whole, filled as a container, fulfilled, prepared, restored, fully inundated with everything Jesus was inundated with. That is also in me because I'm in Him. That's kind of a mysterious figure of speech, but I think if you dwell on it enough, you kind of get it. All right. So there's a lot of things you might say, well, I don't have that yet. Well, actually, you do have it because it all belongs to Christ. He accomplished it all, and we're in Him. Get it? Got it? All right, let's go home. No, we got some other things to answer here. All right, Linda, you want to read number two? You might have to look on there, Matt, with somebody.
If we are in Christ, does that mean we have everything we need to be full and mature?
No.
Okay. Or some of you said no?
Yeah, I think we have everything.
You say we have everything? Hey, there's a good one. She said, we've got to grab hold of it.
Yeah.
So she's saying it's there, but we haven't appropriated all of it. All right. So who's to blame for that, God or us? Okay. Well, I'm not trying to blame anybody, but you know what I'm saying. The responsibility is for us to get it, understand it, and say, God, I'm making this a part of my life. I'm going to start walking in that. Matt?
As some Lockeridge put it this way, he said, there is a check drawn in the bank of heaven for all the blessings of God, but men fail to receive it because they don't go and cash it at the window of prayer.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, and here's one other problem we've got, and that's the word perfection. Sometimes you'll see perfect in the Bible. And the Bible says, James said, we're perfect and entire. The word there for perfect in the Greek is teleos, which is not necessarily meaning you absolutely can't ever make a mistake. That's not what that means. We can make mistakes. All right. No, it means that you're actually in process to being mature. It's the end. It's the finishing line. We're not at the finish line yet. All right. But we're in the race. We're running the race. So, and he promises we're going to finish. So you keep hanging on to that promise that says you're going to finish, and the end of that race, you are fully mature or perfect as Jesus. I know that's an awesome thought. And you want to say, oh, I don't know about that. He was the Son of God and all that. But remember, he set aside everything heavenly about him, and he took on every limitation of human beings while he was on this earth. So they can't say, oh, well, that was Jesus. I could never do that. No, he did it. He ran the race ahead of us to show us what we could do, what we could accomplish, and where we could end up. We are a part of the new creation, which of which he was the first fruits, the Bible says. Yeah. So he was the first one. And who's the next one? We are. Yeah. Now we're walking that walk. Now we're running that race. Now we're obeying God. Now we're doing the will of God. Okay. All right, let's see. What's the next number there? Three? Yeah. Okay, number three. Jeanette?
What does testing produce in our lives?
Okay. What does the Bible say? Always look first at the Scripture. What? What's it producing? Endurance?
Faith.
Okay, faith? Yeah. Yeah. So how many of you have ever been through testing? Oh, nobody. Yeah. No. How many of you have been tested maybe several times a day? There's a test. Does anybody want to confess what maybe some of those tests are, and maybe how you passed it or how you failed it? Because I will confess, first of all, I have failed many tests. But I have passed a few. Yes! So let's not dwell on what we failed. Let's build on some of the ones we passed. So anybody want to share something? Think about something you could tell about. Maybe one you failed or maybe one you passed. Okay, Jason.
Look at that. I'm working 50 hours a week. He's just crying. But so, that was pride. And God sent me to a Fort Worth Presbyterian church for about 4 years and began to work with me in my pride. And that minister, every sermon he preached when he got through, said, if you need to respond to that message, this elder down the front to pray for you. But God used that because I thought, simply God, they're the only right ones. You know, if you want to hear the word, you got to go there. But I won't continue to go on further than that. But that's what he used to begin mm-hmm. to humble me. Now, he's not through yet.
Right.
But that's what he began started on. And me and a friend of mine, we'd see somebody commit to sin. Look at that. Now, we might commit a number two, but no way we'd do a number eight.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't give them numbers, but that was an illustration. But God dealt with me over years.
So it was a test to check your humility. How many of you have ever had, kind of like Jason, maybe in a different way, a humility check, and you failed it, and then you felt bad later, you felt guilty? Well, that was because you failed the test. But does that mean God wrote you off, and God said, you know what, I'm finished with you. You should have passed that test. I'm not giving you another chance. Matt? Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to work better.
Yeah.
So she said she was a health food store manager, 5'11", she looked like a supermodel. Then all that, she took immaculate care of herself. And me, as you can see.
Yeah.
But, so I guess my test was how strong is my faith or how much do I trust God? What he was doing there. Kind of failed at first. I got really mad at God and I stopped going to church. I stopped getting my diet. Did a lot of stuff. And one of my friends kind of slapped me upside the head. or at least God used him. He asked me if I'd been going to church. I said, no, I'm mad at God. He said, stop breathing. Well, God made the air. If you're mad at him, don't be using his air.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of came to that realization, oops, I seriously goofed. And flipped around and said, okay, I need to go back to church. I need to go back to my typing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. It's a good one. Anybody else have a different kind of a test? How about a test of judgmentalism? Have you ever been tested to be judgmental and maybe failed it? But then maybe another time you passed it and said, you know what, I've got this. You know, you can really build on the times. Realize you passed the test. Don't get prideful about it. But realize you passed that test and say, when this comes up again, I got it. Or how about the irritability test? Anybody here get irritable? Maybe when you're driving down the street?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you fail the test. You started yelling at other people, other motorists around you. Yeah. Honk, you know. Well, that's not a real good Christian witness, is it? So you said, well, I failed that test. But then you say, you know what? When this test happened tomorrow, here's what I'm going to do next time I'm tested. Decide in advance what you're going to do when the test comes. Then you've got a real good chance of passing it. Yeah. It really makes you happy. I really get happy when I pass the test.
If you want the ultimate test on that, ask God to grant you patience. Because people put the most aggravating, irritating, kind of person.
Yeah. And there's lots of tests in marriage, isn't there? Not all of you are married, but perhaps you were, and you experienced a lot more tests than other people sometimes in relationships. Paula, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say about driving. That's I usually fail the test, too.
But did you ever pass the test?
Occasionally.
Okay.
If I pray before I go, and I say, God, don't let... You know what you always tell us, don't let anybody get your goat.
Yeah.
Then that helps a bunch.
Yeah. Yes.
In driving, it helps me to remember that that slow person in front of me might be one of y'all. So. I'm trying to keep my fingers.
That is a good one. Because have you ever started to really let somebody have it, and then you go, oh, wait a minute, that's one of the church members. Okay, Jeanette. No, yeah, that's right. So talk to yourself. How about getting your feelings hurt or offended? Did you ever lose that struggle? Yeah. I've lost it before, but you know, it's a real good feeling when you pass it. When someone genuinely hurt my feelings, when that happens, you feel something just start coming up, right? It's kind of like, who do they think they are? And you know, all this self-justification and getting angry at the other person. But if you said, nope, I'm not going to let that happen today, it's a real neat feeling whenever you feel it start, and then you go, nope, not going to go there. And you keep your peace, and you didn't go there. It's just a great feeling. Yeah, and that means you kept your joy too. Because if you get your feelings hurt or offended, you've lost your joy. All right, we better go ahead so we can get through with this. If we don't finish all these questions, we'll just stop, all right? Because that's what we do in our Bible studies and our life group. Okay, so number four? Okay, where are we all? Melinda? Yeah, so what do y'all think Paul was expecting of the Christians he was writing these letters to? And he told them, you're perfect, you're complete, you're mature. There's the end game. Remember he said in Ephesians 4, till we all come to the mature person, just as mature, the full stature of Christ. Kind of gave it away, didn't I? So what did Paul expect?
It's
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already been set apart by God when we accept Him as Lord and Savior. When we accept Christ and what He's done for us and start living our life.
Right.
That He set us apart. But there's a process that you go through because Paul says, work out your salvation daily.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he expected them to be.
Yeah, he expected.
Because, you know, he wrote all of those letters to the church, and he wasn't very nice to them.
Mm-hmm. he didn't, how about this? He didn't accept excuses.
No.
No, he'd say, you don't really have an excuse, because if you've got Christ and you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, and He's there to help you with every experience of life, then what's your excuse for failing when you could be calling on Him? You are complete. You've got it all. It all belongs to you. So I'm not saying He was rough on them with that way, but He was. He really had this high standard. And think about, here's what grace does for us. Grace helps us with that struggle. Grace does not lower the bar. Grace helps you over the bar. There you go. And then it's worked into us. Yeah, what He imputes, he works into us. Okay, good. Those are good answers. Number five. Oh, where are we over? Linda?
What brings us to completion according to Hebrews 12, 20 and 21?
Okay, so check that out a minute. Read that again. Yeah, 13, 20 through 21. Okay, so what's bringing us to completion?
God working in our life.
Yes, I've got the wrong number there, but just go with that. Okay, so when Jesus arose from the dead, He was a part of that. He was the first of the new creation. So He experienced what we're going to become. All right. And He's kind of like the pattern now. He's the pattern. Y'all be quiet over there. I know. I heard you saying, yeah, I've got the wrong number. I admit it. But I'm going to pass the test. Not going to get irritated, or I'm not going to feel like a failure. I don't even feel guilty. All right. No, that's okay. So how about it? It's like a teacher whenever there's somebody talking. Now you've got to answer the next question. So what brings us to completion? What are some of our answers? Okay, the blood of the everlasting covenant. All right, so now we're in covenant with Jesus and with God the Father. Yeah, so we belong to that. We're all a part now of God's family. That helps bring us to, how about some good old fellowship that we enjoy on Wednesdays and Sundays and other times? Yeah, does that help us? That encourages us. Somebody stands up and gives a testimony, and we're going, wow, I think I can do that. That encourages us. So encouragement helps. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. When I see that word peace, I think of covenant. It's a relationship. The God of covenant. The God of relationship. Yeah. He never throws you under the bus. He keeps working with you. So just keep telling you, hey, I failed today. I blew it. But thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on me. I got another chance tomorrow. Keep working on it. Okay, that's a good one. All right, so His part, so it says, and what is our part? What is our part of that? No, wait a minute. No, it's, well, we still got to do that one. Number six. Everybody over here. Buddy?
What is God's part in the completion process? And what is our part?
Okay. So what's God's part in the process?
Well,
What?
It's done.
It's done? Yeah. All right. It's all accomplished in Christ. He was perfectly obedient. He always did what the Father told him to do. He was the perfect Son. So he did that to show us the way to be the perfect sons and daughters of those that would come after. We can also do it. None of us can say, no, we can't do it. Oh, I'll never be perfect this side of heaven. Well, don't say anything. Let's talk about the process. Don't tell God what you can't be. Tell him what you're becoming. And thank you that he's providing everything you need to be that complete person. Okay.
God's part is that ultimately he provided the sacrifice through Christ. God demonstrated his great love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So he did his part, and our part is what? Repentance. Even every day, right? What? Acceptance? Acceptance of that? Grab hold of it? Yeah. What else could you say? Yeah. Let it work out in you. God, you are working it out in me. I'm declaring that today. You're working out your salvation in my life. Mm-hmm. I am complete in Christ. Okay.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Yeah. All right, number 7. Vaughn?
Give some examples of how Christ has completed our lives. So we become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Okay, we're a new creature.
Yes. We accept Christ. The penalty paid for our salvation. Shed his blood, so that's our beginning.
There you go. He that began a good work in me will complete it. He'll finish it. There you go. So he began it. He's taking responsibility. But what's our part in that? Keep letting him do it. And keep saying he's doing it. Tell yourself. Tell others. This is what God is doing in my life. You may not see it yet, but it's happening. Okay. That's right.
Outside
of him. Yeah. I used to have a button. I don't know what happened to it, but it said on the button, it had to be a pretty big button to put it said, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Well, that's kind of all of our testimonies. And we're asking people, I asked Becky to be patient with me, and she asked me to be patient with her, because God is still working that out, and he's still working out our relationship, even though we've been married, what? 45 years? What? We got married in 73. Somebody do the math. Huh? No, is that 47?
46.
Okay, next June it'll be 47. Anyway. Yeah. So we're actually learning how, every day we're learning how to get along better. You know, the daily things. There's the big things. Oh, I just love her. Oh, I love him. Yeah, but how do you get along when there's nothing else going on? Yeah. Or when you get irritated, what do you do? How does that work out? How about when you disagree about something? How does that work out? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or when she's awake and you're asleep.
Yeah. Okay. Are any other examples?
Yeah. Well, it's not an example, but I just always, the thing I thank God for so much is his faithfulness. And he's told us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's like, we're stuck together, I tell you.
Yeah.
No matter, and if somebody leaves, it's us that leaves. It's not
yes.
Him.
Yeah. That's a good point. He's committed. Yeah. He's committed all the way. He's not going to throw you under the bus. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to say, you blew it. or look how many chances I've given you. No, nothing. I will never leave you nor forsake you, period. No conditions.
If we abide in
him, yes. Yes.
He has set us apart. And thus, as we abide in him, it allows him to work in us to complete.
Yes. Right. Right. So if he's forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. If he doesn't condemn you, then don't condemn yourself. If he's forgiven other people, you forgive them. If he doesn't condemn other people, don't you condemn them either. If he doesn't judge them, don't you judge them either. That means we're on the road and we're not stopping anywhere and saying, I can't do that. Don't ever tell God you can't do that. He's never asked you to do anything he hasn't given you the ability to do. There you go. All right. Hey, that's it. We did it. We passed the test. If you've got a red pen, just write 100 up on the top. That's something I never saw when I was in school. Yeah. 100. All right. Anything left to announce? Y'all ready to eat? But would you rather have a prayer first? Yeah, okay. Bless this food. Okay, so let's take a few prayer requests. Yeah. Okay.